good to be back in Sioux Falls. Amen. How many of you that God is doing some awesome things in this season in your life? Amen. Who can testify and say God is doing some wonderful things in my life? Amen. It is very crucial that you, as a believer, that you testify. And testify means, in the Greek, it means I survived the test. Testimony comes from a Greek word, emoni. Emoni means survive. And when you testify, you're letting the people who are with you, you're letting them know that if you go through the same test that I went through, the same God that delivered me will also deliver you. Your Bible is a book of testimonies. If you didn't have a Bible, you wouldn't know that the God that you worship is real. Because the Bible said, blessed are them who have not seen and yet believe. You've never seen God physically. But you experience God in your personal relationship with him. That's why it's good to testify. Because the Bible said we're overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You would think the blood of the Lamb would be enough. Because the blood of the Lamb saved your soul. But you need your testimony as a witness to understand and to know that the God I serve is real. Amen? And I thank God for that, because to be able to testify about how good God is an awesome thing, and I think that's good today. Amen. Anyone bring your Bible today? Good. We're gonna get right into the Word of the Lord, and I'm gonna do a little unconventional teaching today, a little bit. I want to talk about today the danger of being ordinary. If you're taking notes, I want you to get your notes. You got your Bibles, and I want to talk about the danger of being ordinary. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the air and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he, male and female created he them. And when you look at this word, and when you understand this word, when it said God created them in his likeness and in his image, he's not just talking about that he created them to look like him. He gave them his spiritual authority. He gave him his likeness. He gave him his power. He gave them his authority. And the reason that I'm taking this time to show you this part of the text is just to show you that where you come from. Because many a times you cannot know where you're going or know who you are unless you know what you're made of. When they take your car that you drive, your car is a prototype of what the other car went through all the tests. The car that you have right now, if you have a car, it went through 100 different tests. If you have a Jeep, it went through all the different road tests, mountain tests. And then once that car passed all those tests, they brought that car out. And once they brought that car out, they said, okay, we need to change the brakes. We need to change the tires. We need to change how wide it is. We need to change the gas, how the gas is operating. It changed all of that. Well, you got to understand that when I say there's a danger of being ordinary, because it is the attack of the enemy to keep you at a place in your life that you not be successful or you not be extraordinary. So I'm trying to show you today that where you come from is not from ordinary stuff. Amen. It's not from ordinary stuff. All right. And it says that he created them in his image and in his likeness, which means you have his capabilities. You have his attributes. You have his qualities. You are like God. In the South, they would say, an older person is the original OG. And then they would say a younger person is a little G. Amen. Well, I'm trying to tell you that you have dominion on this earth. God cannot do anything in this earth without you. He cannot do anything in this earth without you. You can pray that God feed the kids in Africa all day, but until he touches somebody's heart to go feed the kids in Africa, it'll never happen. You have authority and power in this realm, in this world, in this earth. So you're an original. Tell somebody, say, I'm an original. Say it again. Say, I'm original. This is the definition of being ordinary. And I want you to listen good to me. And it says, of no special quality, interest, or just a commonplace or common person, unexceptional. One definition said is plain, undistinguished, somewhat inferior, below average, mediocre, customary, or just usual, normal, something regular. That's ordinary. Extraordinary or extraordinary is what is unusual, what is unordinary, what is not regular, exceptional, like in amount or degree. Ordinary, below average, mediocre, more than just existing. Who in here can say, I've just been existing? I haven't been living up to my full potential that God has created me to be. And most of the time, this is not an attack that people throw on you. This is how you perceive yourself as an individual. This is how you look at yourself. This is what you get up with every morning. We turn this kind of stuff that people call depression. This is the kind of stuff that people call low self-esteem. Because most of the time, people make their identity in what they drive, how much money they make, the clothes they wear, their fashion, their religion. They define themselves, but what God has really not so much called them to do is what they think to be God, like God. And it's a dangerous thing to have the mentality that you are just created. Do you not understand when your father got with your mother and when they got together and when your father released semen into your mother, over a million sperm cells was released into your mother. Do you not know that you outswam 1 million people just to get to your mother's egg? You were a winner before you got here. You outswam over 1 million of your brothers and sisters before you got here. I'm telling you. And they say, and from looking up, over 1 million things chemically must go right for you to come out, quote unquote, normal. If God has taken the time to make sure that you come out the way you're supposed to come out, then you know that you cannot operate by the blueprint of normalcy. Talk to me, somebody. Touch somebody, say, I'm exceptional. Yeah, I'm exceptional. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Bible says that, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The word breath in the Hebrew here means ruah, or it means wind. He blew into man. Now, when we are here and someone passes out or whatever, and we give them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and all that, we breathe into their what? All right? We breathe into their nose or their mouth. Breathe into their mouth. All right? You hold their nose. And you breathe into their mouth. So the reason that we blow into their mouth is because we're putting wind what? Back into them, and we're trying to bring them what? Back to life. God is not bringing man back to life. He's giving man new life. And that word wind is also translated in as glory. He blew something in him that he did not have. See, this is what the enemy wanted when he stood in the presence of the Lord. He wanted the glory of God. That's why when he came up to Eve, he didn't really understand this type of beast, because the enemy is after what is between your nose and your mouth. It's called the glory of God. That's what makes you different than any other beast on this earth. You have the raw power of God on the inside of you. And since the enemy cannot take or get you deferred from who you are, what he's tried to do is to get you confused about what's in you and who you are as an individual, because he wants to take the glory of God from you. And the Bible said that he blew into man the wind of God, and man became a living soul. In other words, that word soul, life, comes from the word zoe. He was giving man life. He gave man glory. He gave man dominion. He gave man power. He put something in here. You got to look at it differently. Let's be a little unconventional. He blew creativity in man. He blew everything into man. He blew power. He blew destiny. He blew purpose all inside of him. He blew the ability to make a car inside of him. He blew creative concepts inside of him. All what you have, everything under the sun, from every computer, from an iPad to an iPhone to a GPS system, was all blew into man the day that God blew into Adam. It's been transferred all unto us. The thing that we have to keep in our minds is that we have to learn how to tap into that extraordinary power that God has put inside of us and say, God, I know I'm on this earth for a reason, and I've come to make my impact. I come to make my impact. I didn't come here to take sides. I've come to take over. Say it again. Say it with me. I didn't come to take sides. Say, I've come to take over. Say it again. I didn't come to take sides. Say, I've come to take over. Say it with some authority in this room. Say, I did not come to take sides. Till I come to take over. Yes. God did not call you just to work at a job. Just to work, go to school. He called you to have creative ability in your life so you can be able to rule in the area that he's called you to be. You got, okay. Genesis 2 and 19. And it said, and out of the ground formed man. Out of the ground the Lord formed the man, every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them, and whatsoever called every living creature, that was the name thereof. All right. He made man. He blew his power in him, his authority, his glory. He blew all this inside of him. He gave him dominion. But when God got ready to bring every animal, to name every animal, he did not name them. God brought them to Adam to see what he will call them. Look at the first, before there was an iPad, an iPhone, an IBM, I'm trying to tell you, the more comfortable we are and the more access we have to things, the less your brain function is used. You are the first human computer that can your body was never meant to die. Never meant to die. I can cut you right now and your white blood corpuscles with your retina will go back and start stitching up your body like a seamstress. Check out every scar on your body right now. It's a sign that you were not made to die. If you were out in the desert and you couldn't find water, you could drink your own urine and strain it and still live. Yeah, you were not made to die. Sin allowed you to come in and he killed your life. But you were not made to die. And whatever he called them in the earth, it was what it is today. God never has to recreate and do anything. The enemy would tell you that you lost your power. And somewhat we did lost our power in the first man, Adam. But we regained our power in the second man, Adam. It used to be a time that we could remember phone numbers. If you don't have a name, if they take your phone, they have taken you out of your world. If your phone goes, they have taken you out of your world. Now everything has an app. We have an application about everything. And it's good. There's nothing wrong with technology. Nothing wrong with it at all. But that's why meditation was so powerful. If you never met a rabbi or some of the older Hebrews or Judaic Christians, they could literally quote the Bible verbatim without it being in front of you. When Paul said, I knew the law, the letter of the law, he knew every single word. They knew the word. They meditated on the word. They was infused. They got downloads. They got the power of God all the time. But when you lose who you are and don't know who you are, you lose access to that. And then the enemy will tell you, you're just ordinary. There's no way you could teach like that. You could not preach like that. You could not come up with creative. I'm talking about so beyond church. Because I'm talking about the true word of church is the Greek word ecclesia. It's a mentality. It's a called out group of people. If I took you to Genesis around chapter 8 or 7, when it talks about the Tower of Babel, and the Bible said that when they put their mind together, God said, we got to go and confuse them, because once they put their mind together, You cannot stop them. The power, the will, the authority that you have as a believer, as a person, that the authority that God has given you on this earth is so powerful. Faith is so powerful that God won't even let you use the whole seed. He said, if you had the grain of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. The grain. How big is a grain? It's the size of your eyelash. If you pluck one out, that small thing right there could move anything in the faith world. This won't cost you anything. This is free, all right? You ready for it? The new big is small. God is using small things to remove big things. You don't need 1,000 people in here to make an impact. Jesus had 12 disciples, and out of the 12, he only used 3 as the main people that even did anything exceptional. 3 of them. 12 men, 4 of them at the most, we'll count Paul, and you're still reading about their writings today. You can make an impact. Nobody's ever, when I was telling my friends I'm going to Sioux Falls, where is that? Sioux what? Where is Sioux Falls? Where is Sioux Falls? The only time, most time, the quote unquote people hear about Sioux Falls is when we're getting ready to do something against abortion or something like that and you make the news. But hear me. I don't care where you are placed. The authority and the power of God will work wherever. Wherever. I've had different crusades in South America. And the faith power of God is so different. And I got on a plane like, why does it work over here so wonderful? Why is it that it works so well over here, and it don't work over here? And the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit. He said, your people are too blessed. They don't know what it's like to trust me anymore. They're comfortable. If I take their stuff, they'll trust me. They have to believe for me. These people walked, they stood in line 3 hours, just to get a seat, 4 hours just to get a seat. There's one church just over there that they have 6 services on Saturday to accommodate. In actuality, Pastor Allen, you have too many people to make an impact in this city. Because we become comfortable. We can hide in the crowd. We won't have to stand out. When we get in the crowd, we can be originals. I mean, we can just be exceptional instead of being, we can be just ordinary instead of being exceptional. We can hide. I can't do that. You don't even know how many worship leaders that are in here, but we only have 2 because, she sings. But we're not after gift. We're after effectiveness. Because you can take somebody who can't sing and can lift their arms in here, and God will swoop through this place. And many times we've gotten gifted mixed up with anointed. And gifted doesn't mean that you're effective. But anointed means that when you do what God has called you to do, you affect the enemy's kingdom. You have to ask yourself, are you a threat to the enemy? Because if he's not bothering you, if he's not on your track in some way, shape, form, or fashion, then maybe you're not a threat. You don't bother people who are not a threat to you. You don't bother people who's not a threat to you. If the enemy's trying to messing with you mentally or messing with you physically or messing with you in some type of way, that means that you must be making an impact somewhere. When you face resistance, it's an indication that you're coming against the enemy's kingdom. Come, follow me right quick. All right? It's real slow. All right? So I can't move. Follow me. All right? This is him trying to get to me. We feel nothing. Nothing is going on. Keep coming. Nothing is going on. My life is ordinary. It's normal. I'm going around the same ordinary. Now keep coming faster. All right? Now, keep coming. Really? All right? Now there's a difference. So when I push against him, you push against me. When you face stuff like this and it's kind of hard, that means that this is an area in your life that the enemy is saying, oh no, you're making an impact. You're trying to be exceptional. You got to keep being ordinary. And so when you start pushing against stuff and you see a difference, there's a strain going on. I've been working out. I need to tell you that, okay? You feel a difference. There's something going on. Who in here can say I'm feeling some resistance in certain areas in my life? I'm feeling some type of pushback. I'm feeling an attack somewhere. You can tell because the enemy wants you to stay ordinary, but the touch someone says, I can't be ordinary anymore. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. How do you know? Why would you say, Pastor Darrell, that I am extraordinary? I'm exceptional. What makes you think that I'm exceptional? I could go through a whole list of why make you exceptional. I could go through many different scriptures and tell you how he made you and all of this. Do you not know that of all the million of people in the world, and you could be an identical twin? You can do this, she can do this, and you don't even have the same print. Now they're coming up with something that even your veins in your arm, they can identify you by your veins in your arm. Your patterns is not even same. Identical twins, same cells, same DNA, 42 chromosomes split, but yet something is yet different that makes you who you are. Same identical twins. And if identical twins are not the same, you know that God has taken, if he's taken the time to make one of you, why are you spending time trying not to be you? If he's taken this much time, this much effort, this much power, this much authority to make you exceptional, why are you spending the time trying to be just ordinary? I did not say weird. There is a difference. Woo! I did not say weird. I said exceptional. It, financially, in your spiritual walk, in whatever place God has put you, you are unique. You have not tapped into the real you. People like Bill Gates, they've tapped into the real them. An Oprah Winfrey, tapped into the real them. Hear me. There is somebody in you screaming to get out to be exceptional. And you have to find out what it is. And find out what God has called you to be. Because when you are not operating in your purpose, you're just existing. I may not get up every morning. I may not get up in the morning. And I may not make the millions of dollars that Oprah Winfrey would make. Or LeBron James would do playing basketball. Or somebody who plays football. But I wake up every morning knowing, even though I don't make the millions of dollars yet, I have something. I wake up every morning knowing that I am literally doing what I've been put on this earth to do. As that's to impact the people of God and impact people and to show them who Christ is, not only through my walk with him, but as I teach. Because ignorance is killing us. Ignorance means not knowing. Not knowing who he is. Not knowing your potential. Not knowing who God has called you to be. And you are an exceptional person. You just have to know it for yourself. You have to find it for yourself. It does nothing for me to tell you who you are when you don't know who you are. When you don't know who you are, I can come and say, you're fat. And you're size 3. Do you not know that 2% of the world decides what we do? That scarf is around your neck. Somebody decided to put that around their neck like that. 2% of the fashion world decides what we wear and what we call fashion. 2%. 2% decides what we wear. 2%, top 2, top 3%, top 5% of the people makes this world go around. Currency, they make business decisions. Our president just elected the president of GE to conduct the business world because GE is not only global, but it's one of the top 2%. I kind of agree with the Republicans a little bit that we need to lower the taxes, quote unquote, on the business because businesses are in the corporate world. Most people are afraid of that because of 1980, 84, when President Reagan did the same thing called trickle-down economics and the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. I understand the principle. But if God has given you something and he's put something in here, what's in here, if it's not acting out in here, then you just spiritually fat. That's right. Why keep coming to church and you're not making an impact at home or in your family? Who you're affecting in your family? Who knows that you... That's why it's good to have a testimony. That's why it's good for some people to know where you've come from. They can see the difference in you. And that's what make them want to come to their God. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And it said, but we have this treasure, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may... That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'm going to read it again. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Treasure in us. What is treasure? If we have a treasure, what's in it? Something we find valuable, all right? Precious. Special. What's in a treasure? Value. Gold. Diamonds. Extraordinary. Thank you. What's in a treasure? Something we want. Simply stuff. Stuff. Stuff of ability, of value. Something normally when you think of a treasure, you think of it being hid. Ask yourself this question. What did he hide in me that I have not found yet? What has he put inside of me that, number one, I have not found yet? We're busy trying to tap into IBM's treasure and Sprint's treasure and everybody else's treasure. Nothing wrong with that. But what's in you that you have not tapped into, that you have not discovered on the inside of you, that he put you here for the reason why he put you here? And the only way you find a treasure is you dig and find out what he put inside of you. Why do I not like working with people? Why am I alone? Why did I grow up in Minnesota and move here? Why did I grow up as an orphan? Why? Why? Because all of these things created you. It shaped you into the person or the personality that you are today. Why? Why am I uniquely cut like this? Nobody else in the world looks like me, sounds like me, acts like me. Why am I uniquely cut like this? You have to start asking, you have to start searching out those questions in your life, and then you cannot die in your, you cannot go through your life and not find answers to those questions. Why am I here? Why did you marry her? There were 15 other ladies. No, you're funny, but I'm serious. Why? There's a purpose and a reason for everything. God puts your spirit is like a GPS system. No matter how far you get off track, your spirit will always reroute you back to destiny. Because you're after something. Why? Why did my mother die at, you know, last year? God knew I needed her. Why? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why I've been through what I've been through? What's in me? Because if they did not beat your Christ all night long and stab him in the side, you wouldn't have the gift of salvation. They had to rip into him to pull out of him. There was something for you. I think we do God a great injustice for what all he went through, and you live here and don't operate in that power. It'll be as me as an African American, and my ancestors fought and my forefathers fought for me to have a right to vote and for me not to be considered as a 3/5 human, for me to get here and not be and not vote. And not even vote. There was talking this morning on CNN about how, you know, affirmative action is no longer needed because of who we are. You know, I tell my people all the time, you know, the best thing about our president is he took the excuse for you cannot be who you are. Because so many of my ancestors look to football players, not just them, but there are other people who are significant. We never tapped into our own. And from whatever background you're from, what have you tapped into? What's your revival? I'm not talking about we have meetings and we have church. What's going off inside of you that God has put inside of you? You have this treasure that the excellency may be of God and not of you. That the power, the ability. You know what the danger of being ordinary is? That you live through life and you not find out what he put inside of you. You walking through life wondering, who am I? Why have I been created this way? And I challenge you today. I flew 4 hours total in the air and don't like to fly that well, I might add. And to tell you that your enemy is ordinary. Your friend this year must be exceptional. I did not say weird. Let's get that together. I want you to leave here, and I want you to start asking yourself, why has he created me? What are my gifts? What are my abilities? What are you reading your word for? Just to be a nice Christian, keeping it together? Who have you brought to Christ? Not to church, to Christ. Who looks at your life and can see a difference? Are you just existing? Existing, living for the weekend. Had a Sunday morning experience. When the last time you got what we would call a download or intervention from God? You know, God gives creative concepts. The Bible says that God would give you the desires of your heart. Who knows that scripture? Most of the time we think that scripture means that he'll give you something. You know, you come up with something and he'll give it to you. Doesn't mean that. What it means is God would give you the want to want what you want. Somebody said, I'm tired of warming up my food in the oven. There's got to be a better way to warm up food. There's got to be a better way to warm up food. And somebody started thinking about microwaves. There's got to be a better way for me to crank up my car when it's 16 below zero outside. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. The best thing that ever happened to our country is depressions or recessions. Because once we get backed up into a corner, we started thinking again. And once we start thinking again, we start being creative. And once we start being creative, we start coming out with stuff. Like your GPS system, it was here way before you even thought about having a GPS. It's been here, made by the government. Now they can track where you're at. They can even track how much money you have in your pocket. Ding, $300. Ding, $2. If the Holy Spirit came and ding you, what would you have in you? Let me tell you something. God is a businessman. Amen. He's a businessman. I can take you to the guy that had the talent. He's a businessman. And if you do not start making good, God will take from you and give it to someone else. He's a businessman. He has invested too much in you. God has something invested into you that he's coming back to see that have you made good on it. But you got to find out what it is. He's invested something into you. How many of you believe that, by show of hand, that God has invested something into you? And you have to find out what it is. How do I find out what it is? One, it's through prayer. You can't just pray and just leave. Prayer is a dialogue. Sometimes praying is sitting there waiting to hear it, to find out what he said, what he put inside of you. You got to. Another way is through reading the word. A third way is picking up a book and finding out what you like to do. It's got to be a better way. It's got to be something more than what I'm doing. Everybody else come up with something. It's like that bracelet around your neck. Making millions of dollars. Everything. There's a reason for everything. Somebody made this wheelchair a certain way to accommodate his need. Do you know what ministry is? Ministry comes from the word service. The word minister comes from the word servant. When you go to the restaurant, the Bible is literally open up. You got ministry, and you got ministry. Ministry, and you got a minister. Somebody who provides you a service. What service are you providing? What are you giving? If you don't have to be a minister that holds a microphone. The word minister is a servant, period. The Bible said that you have the ministry of reconciliation. It's an accountant word. You remember when you was in school, they said, you know, carry the one. Remember that? You know, you put things in proper line. You are to bring order back into the world. Little bit by little bit. What service do you provide? And one of the things that we do so much is we try to keep holding on to people. That's it. That's all you can be. No, there's more than you can be. Anybody who tried to put strings on you to keep you down, you don't need those people in your life. You need people to let you grow and to be. The world is a big old box. There's a box. We're in the box right now. Out of this box is the city. Out of this city is your state. Out of this state is your region. Out of this region is your country. Out of this country is the world. Out of this world is out of this world. You need a strategy for your life to find out what's inside of you. And you need to be around other thinkers. And don't hang around people. People who think alike, I understand the scripture, what it means, two can't walk together except they be agreed. But anything that gets together that is the same can never reproduce. It only have a feel good. Two of the same thing will never reproduce. It's called homo. No, I'm serious. When you read the scripture that we just read, when you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, and it said that he formed man out of the ground and he brought the animal to see what he would call it. The next verse, basically God tells man it's not good for you to be alone. Because when Adam saw men and he saw the beast, he saw two of the same beast, but he saw two different types. And so God says it's not good for man to be alone, because how can he reproduce? He couldn't reproduce. That's why you have something called a Democrat and a Republican. And now a Tea Party. And now they got another party coming out, No Limit, the No Labor Party. They're independents. Exceptional. Been around other people who don't think and cause you to think. You need, if you're the only person in your room or in your circle of friends and everybody comes to you for advice, that feels good. Ooh, they come to me. I'm good. They I'm reliable. But they don't take you to the next level. Those of you who play the guitar, ooh, you're good. But you're only good by the people who know. If I can say you're good, because I can't play, so of course you're good. But if I put you beside Israel Houghton, are you really good? Are you? But if I put him by Israel Houghton, I promise you, he's going to go home and say, I got to practice. I'm going to be by Israel Houghton. You know why? His standard has been raised. They're on a different level. And if you only hang around the people that you relate to, then your church and your life will only go or grow by who you hang around. Who have you won to the Lord this year? Who knows about your church? Who knows about your God? It's just us four and no more. You're just ordinary. And you're going to do this. And anything that does this for a long time is dead. No heartbeat. No nothing. And some of your lives are just like this. Just ordinary. You take the same route home. You're predictable. You're very predictable. You need somebody to come and say, wake up! When
When God brought prophets into the earth realm, that's exactly why he brought them, to scream, wake up. If you can come in service every Sunday and you know how it's going to go, if you're not lifting your hands, then why should somebody else come in here and lift theirs? If you're not getting anything out of it, if you don't tell me how good it is. Pastor Alex convinced me last night to go to Chevy's to get something to eat. You know why he likes Chevy? He's eating there. So he started testifying about it. I got there like, well, yes, man, I've been here before. It's good. It's good. It's nice. It's the same way as your church. Come to our church. Come meet my God. Be exceptional. Stop being so scared. The God you serve is not scared. He's not a weak God. Some of you are too scared. That's why God can't use you in an effective way. You're too nervous. Go pray for that lady. No. What if I'm wrong? What if you're right? Stop being nervous. Stop sitting in the same seat every Sunday morning. Do something different. Try it right now. Change seats right quick. Find somewhere else. Move somewhere. Yeah, do something different. Touch somebody and say, I'm exceptional. I'm not predictable. I'm not going to be the same. I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to stay the same. My life is going to change. I'm changing my life. I'm changing my order. I'm changing things up. I'm moving in a different direction. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to hang around somebody different. I'm going to learn a new skill. I'm going to do something different. Different. I'm going to do something creative. I'm going to learn a new skill. It takes that. In the last 2 years, in ministry, I've invested almost over $50,000, and for me, that is a lot of money, into e-blasting, media marketing. It takes that. But it was scary. But something inside of me is like, I want some more. I'm more than just a preacher. I want something more. Anybody like that? I want something more in my life. You can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. All you have to do is wake up every morning and say, this is not an ordinary day. This is an extraordinary day. I am not an ordinary person. I'm an extraordinary person. And I will not operate in ordinary. I'm going to be the individual that God has purposed, called, anointed, appointed me to do. I'm going to do it. Some of you got creative ideas that you need to start putting on paper. You need a strategy for your life. Anybody, whatever you do not have on paper does not exist. If it's not on paper, it does not exist. You need it on paper. You need to see it. You need to put it down. Write a business plan, a ministry plan, a life plan. Get your goals. Keep them in front of you. Put them on your dashboard. Put it somewhere like me. Put it in the refrigerator. On the refrigerator. I'm exceptional. I am wonderful. You know. Put it on the bathroom mirror. I love myself. And do something right. Do something different. Your ideas. You have them. Who here got an idea about something? An idea. God's giving you something that you're able to do. You need to tap into it. You need to tap into it. You need to put yourself in environments that breed creativity. I said it again. Put yourself in environments that breed creativity. I have like 6 friends of mine. And we have twice a year think tank sessions. We get together, we'll pick a city, and we pick a room, and we all stay in the same room. And for 2 days, we stay there, and all we do is think about how to be better. We don't even leave. Order room service, all that, and we sit there, and we think about how to be better. And then these are the type of guys who can tell me, you need to change that about your life. And I'm not getting mad. You need somebody in your life who's willing to tell you the truth at the risk of losing you as a friend.
Because all you have around you is people that tell you, yes, that's good. Yes, I think that's good. Yes, I think that's good. Yes, I think that's good. I'm going to kill myself. Yes, I think that's good. I've had that to happen to me on Facebook 3 times, people who want to commit suicide, everybody on their birthday. And by me being busy, and I just like, yes, okay, and not knowing, they was like, I'm going to kill myself. And you just told me, go ahead. The world is changing. You're an instant journalist today. All of you are journalists. By this. Journalists. You can be viral tomorrow. You seen the lady that fell in the pool? An instant hit. You may be one away from somebody knowing who you are. One message away. The world is waiting to hear you. But what would you have to say? The world is waiting to hear you. What do you have to say? There are hundreds and millions of preachers. What makes me different than this guy? It's got to be more than just preaching. It's got to be something else in life that makes me effective. Lift your hand and say, I want to be effective. Say it again, say, I want to be effective. Amen. I want you to put your hands together and give God praise in this room.